T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do what I'm told to do. I think that the game comes easy to you. You take what the game gives you. And then my teammates know where I'm going to be at on the floor. But the thing is, if I don't shoot that and I pass it, my teammate's going to make it, or they're going to make the right play. That's the way we've played all year long. So, you know, it was me tonight. Next game, it'll be Gorn. It'll be Bam. It'll be Tyler. He's done it countless amounts of times. Or Jay. It's not just me who does that. It's everybody on his team. I think my confidence in my guys grows every single second because they're not scared of anything, of any moment, of any team, of any shot. That's where my confidence is. I got all the faith in the world in these guys to make sure that we have an opportunity to win. And I'm glad I get to be part of the leaders that we have here.
And we're glad to have you, Jimmy. Trust me, we are glad to have you, man. As Mike was right on the money from last night's call. That was really fun to watch with all kinds of twists and turns. I found myself screaming like a 18-year-old at calls who were made going both ways, and it was just the craziness of the game. It just seems like we've had a bunch of these kind of games, but yep, the Miami Heat now 9-1 in this bubble in the playoffs. Ooh. And get a game one win last night in overtime. And it was Jimmy Butler. There's a reason you heard him talking. Had a huge three in regulation in the corner. And then one of the strongest three-point plays to the basket you will ever see, how he made that shot. Even got it up. He's just a man. And anyway, ends up being a difference. Of course, the big block by Bam is the one people are already talking about. I think Magic Johnson called it one of the best defensive plays he's ever seen coming over.
He sure did. In the NBA playoffs, even better than just the best defensive plays ever seen.
And and you see it in slow-mo, and he was
How
there.
How did he do that? How did he get there?
They played great defense. First of all, they played great defense overall. I thought the Celtics really fell in love with 26-footers last night. I mean, the three-point line, Zach, you know the three-point line is almost 24 feet to start
right,
with.
Right.
23-9 out around most of the circle, except in the corners. And those guys, and I get it, man, after a while you're struggling to get inside. You can't beat it, whether it's zone or man-to-man. And those guys started, like, running the clock down and then shooting these ridiculous – I mean, they are long threes no matter what league you play in. And he just really, again, same guys, by the way, same five guys getting it done at the end of games. That's all that really matters. You just talk about Dwayne Wade, whether he started. He said, man, I just want to make sure I finish.
Didn't
Bam.
Matter. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, Bam, Jimmy, Jay, Dragon, and Tyler Hero with a little defensive help from Derrick Jones Jr. late in the game as well. But, man, just a great story. By the way, you thought that story was good last night?
Yep. Stay up a little later and watch the next one, right?
I didn't make it, and I didn't even try to make it, but
I got to halftime. That's it.
Got up early this morning, and boy, that was Jamal Murray, 40 points. Denver has knocked out the Clippers, if you haven't heard. After once again, it's incredible the patterns here. So once again last night, Clippers jump out on Denver, and then the second half, Clippers outscore. Excuse me, Denver outscores the Clippers 50-33. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were god-awful last night. Not awful.
Milk cartons, Joe. Put them on the milk cartons, Joe.
Just a really, really struggling night for those guys. 10 of 38 between them.
Oh.
They had a grand total of 24 points in that game. Paul George had more turnovers than made field goals last night. I always get a kick out of that one. For all these guys want to run together and play together, and the strongest team, 1 through 10. And, you know, I got a bunch of theories on this. First of all, I don't know how seriously the Clippers took this to start with when they had a 1.3 guys leaving for different reasons. Guys coming back out early. Meanwhile, the Heat's been all business, right? I mean, the Miami Heat has been just from day one, like we're on a business trip. Not worried about having my family there. Although some guys have a few family members. I didn't realize how long. Did I see 70 days?
Yes.
Yesterday, I saw some of the kids, and I saw these guys been away for 70 days in
that
bubble.
Think about the end of July. The last week in July is when those guys started to get tested and quarantined to get into the bubble for that start of the bubble, for the practice round, I guess you could say. And, Joe, I mean, not jumping over the Heat game, but this Nuggets-Clippers game 7, your superstars need to come out. You just talked about Kawhi and Paul George, 24 points combined. Jamal Murray went for 40, and the Joker had a triple-double in the third quarter. Like, he was playing so good. 22 rebounds, 13 assists for a center, and 16 points, by the way, too. I mean, your stars have to come through in a game like that. And last night, Denver stars shined so much brighter than the Clippers. And the Clippers were the biggest splash in the offseason. It's amazing.
Did anybody think Jokic and Murray would be that much more dominant?
No.
That much more than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They looked like they threw in the towel last night. They really did. They looked like they went, Here's the white towel. We got to get out of here. We can't take it. Now, listen, to be fair to everybody this morning, and I know everybody's going to say they make a lot of money, and, you know, hey, this is their frigging job, so suck it up. But to be stuck in one area for 2.5 months.
That's a lot. I agree.
And listen, I mean, now they got families maybe help out a little bit. I saw the little boys were very emotional when they saw their dad. Some great video yesterday for some of the players getting to see their, you know, their family, usually their kids, for the first time. I don't know how much the wives miss them, but their kids. But
they showed Tatum's kid before the Celtics game. Like, there are good stories there, and that's fine. But I just didn't realize that we'd be talking about the fact that the Denver Nuggets have made it to 2 Game 7s now. And legitimately, their guys have stepped up more than any other superstars when it comes to these games. They just have.
They were down 3-1 to Utah, too.
Right.
I mean, and like, you don't want to forget about what the Heat did in game one, but I just look at Denver, the Broncos, home of the Broncos, and home of the Broncos, and home of the Broncos. And last night, and for this whole series, they're down 3-1, and you're thinking, God, Utah, they got them. Got to, you know, just take care of one of these last three. They come back and win 3 straight. And a lot of that, Jamal Murray, you know, what a great show he put on.
Right.
And then last night again, nobody has improved their stock more than Jamal Murray in these big games. Nobody. Nobody's played better in these games. I mean, there are going to be a lot of guys probably get paid coming out of this thing and everything else. But nobody has done more. And the biggest surprise for me is what happened to Paul George and especially Kawhi Leonard. Oh, like a lot of people have been going, hey, man, Kawhi Leonard not getting enough respect. He's still, you know, first, second, or third best player in the game or fourth. Well, I'll tell you what, you have a sinker like that. And the other guy's just, he's half fraud. Paul George is, you know, and I know what he says, he's been gone through some depression in the bubble. So I want to be fair to his anxiety and depression. But at the same time, 4 for 16, and you actually have more turnovers than made field goals. That's hard to do when you're considered to be a superstar. And I don't know where you guys put Paul George in the big picture where we love to rank our NBA players. We love to rank them top 10. Top 20, top 15, whatever it is,
Whenever he wasn't in anyone's category, you got to drop him down one tier after this series.
Well, you have to have that conversation about Kawhi as well. And I've been telling you guys, you got to look at his body of work. He won basically a phony championship with Toronto against a Warriors team that was missing everyone.
Yeah, but you can't.
And he won a championship with a loaded Spurs team. I mean,
you always ruin it.
Championships.
Like it's
he's just not as good as people make him out to be. You want to talk about him in that same category as the real top guys? He's outside that category, in my opinion.
I agree with you on that part. I do agree with you, but your points you try to make with it. Listen, man, Kawhi Leonard was really good last year. Really, really good last year. And
Joey sits out half the season, though, so there's no reason he shouldn't be fresh by the time the playoffs come. And again, I just think he's an incredibly overrated player, in my opinion.
So everybody that beats Golden State, which is a team that I love, but because they're injured, like it takes away from a championship. I don't know, last time they make those rings, they don't put anything next to it.
Well, it takes away, Joe, because they would have lost if the team was healthy. And I don't think there's any debate on that.
Well, then the Heat would have won if the air conditioning was on and this and that. You could say whatever you want.
Kawhi Leonard, I don't
last
know,
year,
man.
Last year in the playoffs, there was no better player in the entire league than Kawhi Leonard. No better player.
Not in those playoffs.
Okay, but if neither of you guys can admit that full-strength Warriors team would have beat that Raptors team.
I know, but you can't. That's like, what are you talking about in sports? Are we going to do that in football, too? Like, hey, 12 starters were out at the end of the year, so there's no way they should have beat him. They were just healthier. Like, that's part of sports, man. Like, I hate to break it to you. That's an excuse. Like, there's nothing you can do about injury. I'm sorry Klay Thompson blows out his ACL or Kevin Durant blows out his Achilles. I mean, that's just that's part of the game, man. It's part of the game. It's part of the game, like, guy fighting with his wife and goes to the game.
Taking away his championship. I understand that injuries are part of the game, but I mean, let's look at this in reality.
Look
who he beat.
Played out.
Okay,
played
I mean,
out.
But look who
out.
He beat.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you win a championship, you win a Super Bowl, you win a World Series, you win a damn bowling championship. It doesn't matter who's in front of you as long as you do it.
I mean, you're talking about different sport. Football's just different, but
no, but it doesn't matter. You're talking hypotheticals. Well, if the air conditioning was on the day in that San Antonio series,
that's
maybe
a terrible
LeBron
example.
Wins it.
That's a really
no, it's
bad
not.
Example.
I don't know. I don't know about the heat and the air conditioning. Although I did soak a suit that night, just absolutely wiped out a.
But you can't put anything
suit.
In front.
Okay,
of
Okay, but you're talking about
loss.
Something that's an equal disadvantage to both teams. You're not. It's not in the same thing. But if you don't want to put in that category, a team missing two of their. I mean, Kevin Durant missing. Come on.
But you can't make your argument that's because of injury somebody won. That's part of the game. Like, it's part of sports. Always has been. Always will be. Like, certain guys miss. All right, man, it kind of changes things. Sorry. Great job getting here and won a lot of games, but your star's out.
Deal with it.
What are you supposed to go? Hey, guys, we're done because it's not fair. Our guys are out. You know, now if you win, you know, it's not going to be the same. I mean, there's people. I heard a debate yesterday about the bubble and the baseball season. Well, 60 games, whoever wins this thing, you can't really give a true championship. Yes, you can. They're playing that 60 games and that long-ass playoffs thing that they set up for all that money to do it. And the same, like, to me, this is almost harder because whether you win or lose, you ain't going home to your nice pad or traveling or you're just going right back to that same hotel room you've been in for 2.5 months with or without a kid crying or wife saying, oh, I've had a crappy day, you take them. I mean, I don't know if that happens, but listen, I just can't take away from this. But whatever, man. It's just like you could say Kawhi Leonard. I agree with you. Kawhi Leonard is really people are going to be looking at Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is going to be a topic today for the new media that we like now. Not who plays great as much as we like to get on who doesn't play well and the great disappearing acts. And Paul George and Kawhi Leonard last night put on one of the great disappearing acts of all time. That should be made for a movie. Like, where did they go? We can't find them.
I mean, you're right. Kawhi deserves some heat today, though, man. I know we kind of handle him with kid gloves because he's got a dopey personality. He doesn't say anything, but he needs to get some heat today.
You know, I just literally, when I saw the numbers this morning, and I was like, wow, so much for all that money you spent on YouTube to put in that. And by the way, chicken wing guy didn't play great either last night. Nope. He is another one. Everything's, you know, everybody talks about his great scoring off the bench.
Lemon pepper, Lou?
Yeah, lemon pepper. Thank you. Yeah, he...
7 lemon peppers in 25 minutes last night.
Ooh, man. Yeah. So much for that 6-man and averaging 20 points a game. Yeah, that... They just had a lot of guys didn't play well. And listen, the other side of it is we've been doing a lot of talking, and this Bam and Jimmy thing, and Jimmy Butler is wide open, but it's still a clutch 3-point shot in regulation. And then that shot going to the basket, and then the play of the night, just when you think it can't get any better, Jason Tatum goes by Jimmy Butler, and Bam goes, "I got your back," at the rim. I don't know. See it in slow motion. Both guys are pretty far up there. It looked like Tatum thought for just a split second, "I'm going to dunk this ball." And then Bam said, "No, you're not. I'm here."
That damn ball was down, man.
Holy moly.
That's right up there with that Jimmy. LeBron block, right? I mean, as far as best blocks all time, like that just jumped right into my I jumped out of the couch when I saw that
one. Well, first of all, I was shocked to see. I expect so much out of Jimmy. I was shocked. Because Tatum had been settling for like 29 footers, and to see him go to the basket, you know how he gets up to start with at 6'8", and then here he comes. That was just unbelievable stuff. Listen, it was great, man. A lot of stuff to get to, by the way, today. A lot of stuff. Got a big show going for you, but game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and damn, what a game it was. And another huge fourth quarter after being down, 13-14, come back 35-23 in the fourth quarter last night. And here we go, man. Here we go. It's on now. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. Got a lot of football news when we come back. Stay with us.
All right, here at the Joe, we want to see you at a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Listen to the Joe and learn how you might win. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to finscu.com, finscu.com, and keep listening for your chance to win on AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, the Joe WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
All right, Zach, and we told everybody, man, that this is going to be a great time of the year, seeing all these sports playing. Like, what was your favorite flavor last night, man? Because they were all going. By the way, the Islanders are still going strong. So I guess not that it makes you feel any better about the fact that they knocked the Panthers out, but they're still rolling along, actually. I believe up 3-2 now in Tampa Bay for a chance to go to the bubble Stanley Cup of their own. That they're having right now. And, of course, baseball's rolling down. It's kind of weird to say this. Baseball's in their last 10 to 15 games, according to what team you are and how many coronavirus tests have screwed you up. But outside of that, then Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals getting ready to start up. And NFL Week 2, probably never going to say this again, folks. Probably and hopefully we'll never go through this again. But if you are staying at home and always looking for things to do, whether, you know, I don't care whether you're, let's just say, being aggressive during the coronavirus and going out saying it's a joke, or you're respecting and you're staying home. Like, I don't want to get into that part. But whatever way you're doing it, got a lot on TV to watch, or wherever you might be going to boat campers or wherever. Canes in Louisville, all of a sudden, ABC Saturday night. Who would have thought in a normal year of football where all Power Five, everybody's playing, what do you think the chances of Canes in Louisville now going to be playing? And by the way, this game is really big for both programs, but it is huge for this Miami Hurricane football program. Huge. It's big because it's the first ACC game. It's big because of recruiting. All the kids get to see you nationally. You got the show that night, man. It's good for your own confidence and for a lot of guys, just how good are we going against a good Louisville team with some explosive quarterback and a couple of wide receivers that can run by you and those corners, whichever ones haven't left yet for the transfer portal, are still there. Those guys are going to have to cover, man, and get after it because they're going to get tested by Louisville's wide receivers this week. So you've got all that stuff. And, of course, the other one is the Miami Dolphins going to be home for week two against the Buffalo Bills. And they came out, as we predicted, Pro Football Focus, gave out the grades, see how you're doing in school. And we got a lot of guys on that defensive front seven. They got really bad grades, and they're now on probation at school. And better pick it up. Josh Boyer also talking yesterday. I don't know if we have it. Maybe we can get it this morning. Talking about, listen, it's on me. And he's right. Before we get into any of the players, when that many guys have that bad of games, I got to look back at the coach. I got to look. It's only week two. I'm not saying, you know, this is not the year in, get rid of them. But the first time defensive coordinator, if guys are making mistakes or not where they're supposed to be or maybe not supposed to be in the game or not ready to play, that goes right back. All that stuff goes right back to the defensive coordinator. And I know it's his first time. And I said this is a huge jump. This is no longer coach your guy up and then sit back on a Sunday and keep an eye on your position. This is running the whole defense and having the right personnel in for the best matchups. Once the offense makes their moves, you make yours to match them. And the Dolphins didn't do a very good job of it.
No,
and so when I saw it, it was good to see Christian Wilkins was legit, man. I saw he got a high grade. Made me feel a lot better about those numbers knowing that he played really well during the game and everything. But, yeah, the Pro Football – and I know a lot of guys in football, the players and the coaches think they should be doing, like, grades because guys have different assignments. But in this case, when you give up 200 yards on the ground, if you're out there in the front seven, there's a really good chance you didn't play well. There's a really good chance a majority of your guys – did not play well. I think we could all.
And the grades were not, like you said, not good for any of these guys in the front seven except for Wilkins. That's it. Everyone else graded out as low as I've seen. Basically the lowest you could almost get.
Now listen, Jerome Baker somehow got this bad grade.
I was weirded out by that. I don't understand why.
Well, I do know why. Some of it were tackles are made down the field.
Right.
And but listen, man, 16 tackles, leading the NFL 16 tackles. And he made two bonehead plays, and that hurts your grade too, right?
Right.
That's like two pages of when you're taking that test. Hey, you just had no idea what was going on those two plays. We got another story that's really interesting from Monday Night Football. We talked a little bit about it. I mentioned that Brian Griese brought it up. Did a really good job on Monday Night Football bringing up something that should never happen. Never happen. We had some weird stuff, and I know we always talk about the players and who's playing well and who's not. Vic Fangio ended up not using two of his timeouts at all as the Titans were marching down the field. And at first he tried to go with, well, I didn't think much of it. Gostkowski had already missed three field goals and an extra point. And then they're going, Vic, that's kind of weak, man. I don't know if you know it, but it was a 25-yard field goal. And, Zach, you and Hollywood can do the math on a 25-yard field goal. Right, and if you can, I'll help you. That puts the ball in the 8-yard line.
Yep.
I always go by where the ball is. The 8-yard line is almost – that's getting real close to the old extra point, which is automatic. Even if you're a kicker really struggling, the angles, when you're that close, are pretty good. And he decided, used one at the very end of the game. So he lost the game instead of trying to save time, knowing. And he said his thing was, well, I thought he'd miss another one. Oh, the guy's one of the greatest kickers of all time.
Right.
It's not some young guy. Like at some point, this guy's going, damn, I'm one of the greatest kickers of all time. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer because I don't think he is. But he's been damn good in a lot of big games for that New England Patriot machine. And it's just, and it's amazing to me. So you don't save those timeouts to try to get the ball back and, you know, complete a couple long passes, use your timeouts for that, and then try a long field goal of your own to try to make it, right? And by the way, in the longest, easiest air to kick a field goal. You add 10 yards on wherever you are when you're in Denver.
Right.
You add 10. I mean, I was thinking about all this stuff last night. Like, yeah, guys kick. Like, it's fun to watch our field goal kickers warm up in Denver. It's like, oh, my God. Hey, check this out, guys. 64 yards, he just made it. Because the air, right? Everybody knows this, the story. And if you have a run around in it, it's a burner. But I just looked at all this stuff, and it was like, it was so weak. Some people are calling for Vic Fangio, who, again, is a first-time head coach. But this should never happen. He's got 19 assistant coaches. One of them has got to have a job. And, again, I'm not up there, and I've never seen or see how they coordinate it. But one guy, the head coach has always got to say, hey, man, I want to make sure you keep an eye on me. Timeouts, reviews, if you see something. Things that head coaches have to make that are standing there watching the game, or put something in my head, because if I get zoned in, I'm trying to stop them, and I lose track of the score and the time and all that stuff. That's just an amateur mistake, right, to not have some time left to think, even if it was a 30-something yard field goal, what are you doing?
Right.
And you end up taking those timeouts off the field with you. That's what they're there, man. That's what they're for. And so first he tried to kind of defend it after the game.
You can't defend that.
I think he had a chance to think about it and goes, man, there's a lot of coaches laughing at my ass right now. And so he took responsibility for it yesterday. But, and again, the Monday night crew picked right up on it. Like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And he missed three field goals. Yeah. This is not a kicker right out of some small school that just had a nice little camp, 14 padded practices, and made a lot of kicks. This is a guy that's got a bunch of damn game winners and Super Bowls and, right, and playoff games. This is not your normal, you know, and I don't know what Gostkowski's going to look like down the road. I don't, and as I said yesterday, if he was a first-time kicker, they would have cut him.
Right.
If he was a first-time, they would go, he's shot. I don't think they'll do it with Gostkowski, because that resume says I'm one of the greatest kickers of all time, and I've kicked in a hell of a lot of important games, and he has, man. There for a while, you know, I don't want to say he's good, because he's not as good as Baltimore's kicker, in my opinion, but boy, he is, he's pretty special. 19 assistant coaches, and nobody jumped in his ear to say, hey, coach, you know, I know you don't really, you know, I don't know if guys were afraid to say something to him.
But aren't there guys up in the booth that, like, are almost specifically just watching the replay and doing stuff like that from the TV monitors and just kind of in that position to help the coach out? Isn't there a guy that the coach kind of calls up to and says, hey, should I throw the red flag or not? Did you see the replay?
They'll call down to him.
All
those guys will call to him, say, hey, coach, 32 seconds left. This might be a good time.
Yep.
You know, hey, I want to let you know we got all three timeouts, coach. Just a reminder, because you don't want to make him look bad. Like, hey, dummy, what are you doing down there? Because he's got a lot going on. Hey, listen, man, I always say this. The jump from assistant coach to defensive coordinator is friggin' huge. And the one from D.C. and O.C. to the head coach, you know.
There were some guys
yesterday called for him to be fired. And at first I was like, I mean, it's just like, well, you know, he made one little mistake. No, man, you're an NFL coach. You're not a high school coach in your first game, right? Some guy that was a really good player that's never coached, that got the head coaching job at some high school. I mean, you're at the highest level when a lot of people are pissed off that you even got the job, you know, as a lifetime assistant coach, and whether you were ready or not. And it's just a weird one, man.
Yep.
I know. And listen, probably nothing's going to change anyway, right? There probably wasn't going to be enough time. But you sure would like to have one timeout or no timeouts and still have 30 seconds after a guy makes a field goal to see if you can't go. And again, you got a kicker in Denver that can kick it, and that ball's going to carry. Just add another 10 yards on.
Right.
That's the difference that our guys tell us when they go there. They warm up. They go. I mean, it's kind of cool for them. They go out there and usually are kicking. Sometimes the guys get up to 60 on normal games day on now, or 58 or 55 whatever they're feeling, whatever the weather's like.
65 now, right.
But Denver, right. I mean, you got a shot.
Right.
Anyway, just I don't want to get carried away here, which I already did, and I'm long-winded here this morning after 14 cups of coffee. We got a big old show, got a lot of stuff still to get to here this morning as we continue on the show. Big story last night, the Heat take game one in overtime against the Celtics. And the other big story is the one I couldn't stay up and watch is the Clippers lose three straight to Denver and get knocked out of the playoffs. Denver and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Crazy, crazy stuff going on all the way around. We'll jump to a lot more stuff. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Do what I'm told to do. I think that the game comes easy to you. You take what the game gives you. And then my teammates know where I'm going to be at on the floor. But the thing is, if I don't shoot that and I pass it, my teammate's going to make it, or they're going to make the right play. That's the way we've played all year long. So, you know, it was me tonight. Next game, it'll be Gorn. It'll be Bam. It'll be Tyler. He's done it countless amounts of time. Or Jay. It's not just me who does that. It's everybody on his team. I think my confidence in my guys grows every single second because they're not scared of anything, of any moment, of any team, of any shot. That's where my confidence is. I got all the faith in the world in these guys to make sure that we have an opportunity to win. And I'm glad I get to be part of the leaders that we have here.
That was Mr. Clutch, Jimmy Butler. Another unbelievable play. Don't look at the box score. You're going, it's a good game. Listen, if you watch the game, Jimmy Butler's three at the end of regulation, you thought might do it. And then the three-point play, going to the basket, and I mean going to the basket strong, somehow gets the ball to go in, makes his free throw, was huge. And then, of course, the Bam block is the one that everybody's going to be talking about today, coming over after Jason Tatum gets by Jimmy Butler, which, by the way, I thought he was going to end up settling for another jump shot from the outside.
Right.
Somehow gets by, though, and he's going up like, oh, man. He's not only going to make it, he's going to dunk it, which is highest percentage shot there is. And Bam
goes. At worst, a foul, right? Like, at worst, Bam's going to probably have to foul the guy because he's so close to the hoop. I did not expect such a clean block.
Well, listen, man, that was
unbelievable.
Was one hell of a play that we'll be talking about. And look,
credit
back,
the officials for not blowing the whistle right, there, by the right. way, because they had a rough night, too.
Well, I'm glad
there's
you
just so
up.
Many questionable calls in these games, and I know that guys are trying their best to sell it, but it's just tough, man.
It's funny you said that because I wrote down last night that the officiating, I have now, after watching that game last night, and I've thought this, and we've talked about guys getting in the acting business and flopping and all that. The officiating, like guys miss shots. And they're calling it, and they go back and show in slow-mo, and you're like, show me something that really affected the shot,
right,
please.
Right.
Show me something. They go, oh. I hear George go, uh-oh. Oh, yeah, slow motion. Low. You see him? He's got him with a little bit of the body down low. Don't look up high. Look low. And then you're going back, and they're calling it, and like, well, did he get the ball for it? Like, if it's close, don't call it. Like, don't call it. It's okay to let him play a little bit. And by the way, it's both ways last night. I'm not doing the Homer special this morning because I live here in South Florida. I agree. And throughout the bubble, there's just been so many calls made. And it used to be, guys, I don't know if it's me, that they used to let him play at the end of games a little bit more and go, I don't want to be the story unless somebody gets fouled and it's real blatant. I want you guys to win it. And now, like,
I almost feel like they're making the calls now just so they know they can go back and replay them.
So Dragon goes under the basket, right, and does a fadeaway when he does that where he goes through and think he's going to dribble through underneath the basket and pass it and pulls up and takes that shot, which he's done for forever, and he missed the shot, and they call a foul, and you're going, wow, that's – I mean, okay.
But it's not 100% on the officials, though. That's the problem because Goran, and I don't want to put this on Goran, but, you know, because everyone did it last night, but there's a lot of flailing going on.
I know.
And I think Doris did a really good job pointing it out. She's great to listen to, by the way, in these broadcasts. But a lot of this goes on the players and the way that the game is kind of evolving here. Like, they need to put a stop to this.
Well,
guys come, like, rubbing off screens as well, and you get a little bit of contact, and the guy flails on the shot. Now they're calling those fouls on the floor, and there's just too much of that right now.
How about the guy plays you tight, you just go up and throw it up with no sense to make the shot. Just throw it up.
Just to get
and sometimes,
free
by the way, when they don't call it, you look like a complete idiot when you do it. But I think, and in fairness to the officials, they don't pay those guys enough money. And I know I complain about pass interference. And by the way, there was a lot of controversy around pass interference and who the call was on, whether it's the receiver or the defensive back. And we saw a huge play in the Dallas game, huge play in the Dallas and Rams game. But I got to tell you, man, I think it's a lot more difficult to officiate these NBA games. Hip checks to guys going up to guys. By the way, the other one that gets me, and this has been around forever, and Dwayne Wade was the best at it. Get a guy up in the air and don't go straight up. You go right into his body. Even though the guy goes straight up in the air, you go into his body, you're going to shoot free throws 9 out of 10 times.
Right.
Nine out of 10. Even though the guy goes straight up and the shooter sees he's off his feet and just goes right into him as he's shooting the ball. Again, no chance to make it. Just trying to draw some freebies. So I'd ask you guys this morning, what do you think's more difficult to do right now? Officiate a basketball game or officiate an NFL game?
Oh, man.
I think it's basketball. I don't know that it's because in basketball right now, Joe, it feels to me like these guys are doing their best to try to trick these officials into believing there's contact. And again, it's very tough, man. These guys are screened out. I mean, it's tough to see every single time. You get a guy like Kemba Walker or Marcus Smart or any one of these guys from the Celtics. I mean, the flailing is just it's out of control.
How about the pass?
Football and pass interference and holding.
Do you see the job? I still don't know if it's like let me take me back to the Dallas Cowboys. Ramsey playing against which receiver.
Michael Gallup.
Yeah, that was bad too.
Right.
I mean, but that's a huge play.
It was the biggest play of the game.
So I watched it 19,000 times. So everybody had an opinion on it, and honestly, nobody knew for sure. And I thought exactly. I was listening to all the guys and I wanted to hear their take on it. Like, all right, Mr. Former Player or Mr. I've been following the NFL for 40 years or I've been on TV. I want to hear what you have to say about this call because now we've seen it pushing back and forth, grabbing each other. It should have been a no call, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Even though you could have
done in there, right?
And so, you know, the problems haven't gone away with the NFL on that. I don't know what's harder because you could call holding every down on the offensive line and the secondary. You could.
But we spend more time talking about NBA officials than any other league, don't we?
No, right now we do because we're in these games and we get to see them up close. And we saw a bunch of calls last night after guys miss threes and then go shoot three free throws.
I think we talk about more of the last 2 minutes of NBA games and we could talk about the entire game in the NFL every week. And say about what about that pass interference call or the no call in the first quarter? Or what about here? I think they're both hard to be a referee, to be an umpire, to be whatever for. But I do think that football, just on every single play, you can almost throw a flag if you really wanted to.
Well, throw this in there. You have that ridiculous 2-minute report that they come out with in the NBA where they throw the refs under the bus if they miss a call.
Under the bus,
so that really sucks.
Yeah. Well, I think that they weren't worried about the feelings of the officials. You're right.
No, I'm sure, but just
try to make teams better and fans go, yeah, I knew that was a bad call. What'd you guys think of Marcus Smart's play that he made last night to draw the free throw where that sucker doesn't even go into overtime? What'd you think of that call? And then, of course, they go up and make the free throw.
Right.
I think Marcus Smart is garbage. So anything you say about him, he's just a piece of trash.
He's a great actor.
He. By the way, but the league.
He's the newest Celtic to dislike. He's Jason Terry of this series.
The league just literally like has to have meetings about him. Like, look at he's going to flop 10 to 15 times, coming off screens. He's the worst. He bounces off big guys like they're 450-pound bodybuilders. knocking him down when he flies. You would think he was 5'10", 120,
right,
the way he is. And I get it's part of the game, and there's a lot of guys that do it. We just happened to be watching Smart play last night.
Yeah, but if you throw a screen and Marcus Smart is within 15 feet of it, he's going to flop. Doesn't matter where he is on the court, he is going to get hit by somebody and fly 7 feet.
But, boy, I'll tell you what, man, if you're touched at all right now and you're shot, you're shooting free throws, man. You are shooting free. You got a better chance to strip a guy, and they'll let that go than anything. With all you have to do is miss your shot and fall down, and there's a really good chance you're going to shoot some free throws, which, you know, it does take away a little bit. And by the way, it's both ways last night. This is not you know, that the Celtics got all the calls. I mean, the Heat got some too, man. It's just, and then I went, you know what? It'd be a really, really tough job. They're big, physical, fast dudes, and they're making it really hard. Like, all right, was that contact or is that acting? Is that contact? Did it affect the guy's shot or should I let it go? Well, I don't know. In some ways, I wish we'd see less free throw shooting. I really do. But, I mean, it's part. Listen, we've seen guys shoot free throws to win games in these playoffs.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, game's over. Get out of the way. Jimmy, shoot a couple free throws. You're either going to win it or we'll play
overtime. When was the last time you saw that, by the way? Outside of the Jimmy Butler, you know, like, when was the last time?
Yeah, it's never good to have walk-off free throws.
Zeros on the clock, right. Yeah, zeros on the clock and the game on the line, and Jimmy's there. I mean, come on. That could be the worst way to lose.
So, yeah, it was funny. And they'll be bitching, I'm sure, about some of the calls today. And the NFL, of course, always, every week, it's always going to be somehow pass interference and officiating and even hits. Like, did you really touch the quarterbacks up high that much? Did you have to call that? I mean, well, you know, it's the rule. You're kind of up around the shoulder pads towards the head. I'm like, he barely touched him, man. He barely touched him. So anyway, it's crazy. Anyway, good stuff last night. All that matters right now is you got that first W in a best of seven, and the Miami Heat have it. A lot more stuff to get to. By the way, I want to say this before we go to break. My condolences go out to American Heritage Delray head football coach Brian Sheridan, who passed away at age 45 yesterday. And so to the team up there and everything else. I think this is the third or fourth coach in Broward or Palm Beach that's passed away, athletic director slash coach, that we've lost already. It's just talking to the athletic director in Broward County about, yeah, we got a lot of guys really sick. And so... condolences go out to the whole family. A guy was a hell of a football player at Rutgers. Anyway, we got to go to break. Zach, what do you got for us before you jump on the seven?
All right, tell you about Nation Claim Services. With storm season upon us, the most important phone call you'll make is to Nation Claim Services right now. And why, you ask? It's because you can get a free no-obligation inspection right now in your home, your business, your condo from Nation Claim, from all the great people there, from all the skilled people there, the team of professionals with over 30 years of combined experience assisting homeowners, businesses, condo associations with their insurance claims as a result of property damage or loss. So why do you need that free no-obligation inspection? Well, they'll come over to your home, your business, your condo, check out your dwelling, check out all the stuff inside and out, make sure that you are kind of covered for everything. And when I mean covered, they're going to check your insurance papers, because inside your insurance papers, we'll see what the company you could have claims for afterwards, what you're covered for. And so you don't get underpaid at the end if there is damage, property damage or loss because of a storm. And there are a ton of storms out there right now. So the best thing you could do is call today, 888-94-CLAIM, 888-94-CLAIM or MyNationClaim.com to get that free no obligation inspection. All they do is come over and they need access to the house and your papers. They take care of everything else, every detail. You're a part of everything there. They serve the Tri-County area, Monroe County as well. They're going to be with you every step of the way. All the details related to your claim so you don't get underpaid, you'll know about all of them, but they know about all of it, so that's the best thing. They're on Team U, by the way. Nation Claim Services, the company you could trust to fight for you. Call them today. 888-94-CLAIM, 888-94-CLAIM, or the website MyNationClaim.com. Nation Claim Services is the answer before and after the storm.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.